puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago. Well, it goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway. Abandoned Manitoba's all about history, right? Going back into history. But there's history and then there's history. And today we're doing the latter kind of history. Hi, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia. Yes, indeed. We are going to be discussing the history of a place in southwestern Manitoba that goes back thousands of years, because we're talking about measurements of water quality in Killarney Lake that date to 4,700 years ago.
So yes, the plural, thousands of years ago. Okay, so let's start with where this is exactly, Killarney Lake.
Well, it's a large lake adjacent to the town of Killarney in southwestern Manitoba, and it's been a popular recreational place for swimming, boating, fishing for, well, literally generations. In fact, one of the first European settlers at Killarney, a fellow named John Rigby, wrote in July of 1882 back to his relatives in Ireland that, this is a quote, "Killarney Lake is a beautiful sheet of water, clear as crystal and abounding with fish and fowl." Statements like this one really interest me because they imply that water quality in the lake has deteriorated in the past 140 years. Today, many people perceive the water quality in Killarney Lake as quite poor, with, you know, excessive amounts of algae, high levels of nutrients and other pollutants, and, well, just sometimes noxious smells. Well, we can measure some of these characteristics of the lake, but it would be nice if we could compare them to similar measurements, you know, say 100 years ago or even longer. You know, what was the water quality in Killarney Lake like, you know, thousands of years ago?
So for that to happen, you would have had to have someone measuring water quality, say, at least 100 years ago. Was there anyone?
No. In a word, even if there had been somebody back 100 years ago doing those measurements, the scientific techniques we use for measuring lake water quality have advanced so much in the past century that, you know, those measurements taken 100 years ago would be completely incomparable to ones made today. You know, and yet there is a way to estimate the quality of Killarney Lake water at any point in the past, and therefore evaluate by how much it may have changed due to pollution caused by humans, environmental change, and what have you.
Okay, so I'm curious, how would that have been done?
The technique is called paleolimnology. Limnology is the study of lakes, and paleo is sort of historical reconstruction. It entails the use of a coring device to collect an intact column, a vertical column of sediment from the lake bottom, and then taking samples from that sediment core to analyze at various discrete layers along its length. The idea is that plants, animals, and non-living materials that occur in a lake sink gradually to the bottom and are buried over time, so that the topmost layer, the part that is near the water of the lake, was deposited there most recently. The further down one goes into the sediment, the further back into the past that those layers were deposited.
So what sort of measurements are made on these sediment layers?
There's lots of things that one can measure that depend on the equipment that you have available and one's interests. No, so for example, I'm interested in plants and algae, so I measure the quantity of chlorophyll. Chlorophyll is the green-colored pigment that plants use for photosynthesis, and it's contained in various parts of the sediment column. So if there was more algae occurring in a lake at a particular time, there will be more chlorophyll deposited on the bottom. We can also measure other such things as organic matter, carbonate minerals, the fossilized remains of algae and vertebrate animals, pollen produced by aquatic and terrestrial plants. The idea being is that if you measure all these different things, it gives you a very detailed picture of what has happened in and around the lake over literally centuries of time.
So have you then collected these samples from Killarney Lake?
Yes, exactly what happened. Back in the early 1990s, when I was a young professor at Brandon University, several people at Killarney convinced me to study the lake to provide supporting evidence for their contention that the lake had deteriorated through the 20th century. So we did some paleolimnological work in the wintertime. And in case anybody's wondering why we would do it in the wintertime, it's because I find it easiest to stand on a nice solid surface of ice cut a hole through the ice to send a sediment sampler down to the bottom of the lake and to retrieve sediment cores from usually from the deepest part of the lake, which in the case of Killarney is about 6 meters in total. Over the course of 2 years, we collected 6 sediment cores from Killarney Lake that ranged in length from 20 centimeters, so relatively short, to 280 centimeters, so quite lengthy. And we took samples from some of these cores to be radiocarbon dated. The idea being then is we could actually tell which date corresponded to which layers in these cores. And what we found was that the longest of our cores represented about 4,700 years of sediment accumulation. And you know, we probably could have collected even more sediment than that had we not encountered a very hard layer that we were unable to penetrate with our samplers.
What were these hard layers?
Interesting, really interesting. They were a mixture of firmly packed soil and small stones, which we think means that Killarney Lake was dry about 5,000 years ago. It had no water in it. And this makes sense because climatologists think that the conditions here in Western Canada were warmer and drier than today from about 7,000 years ago to about 5,000 years ago. So knowing that lakes like Killarney may have been dry during this period gives us useful insight to what may happen in the future if conditions become hotter and drier due to global climate change.
And what did your analysis show about how Killarney Lake had changed over the years?
Well, for one thing, our results showed that John Rigney might have thought the lake was clear as crystal in 1882, but it had been much, much worse in the distant past. You know, we found that we could divide the history of Killarney Lake into 5 distinct phases, and the best water quality of the entire history we could reconstruct occurred over a 300-year period that started 1,800 years ago. In other words, roughly the year 200 AD to about 500 AD, when the lake was quite deep and the quantity of algae was relatively low. Otherwise, for much of its history, Killarney Lake has been naturally green and full of algae. You know, so what it means is that anyone who expects Killarney Lake to be as good as some of the very clear lakes, for example, on the Canadian Shield, will be sorely disappointed. Killarney Lake has not been that way for thousands of years, and frankly, it never will be.
Did you discover anything that surprised you?
Oh, yes, quite a few things. But one of the most interesting ones, I think, we analyzed some of our shorter sediment cores that represent roughly the last century of life in Killarney Lake for copper, you know, a metal. And what we found were that the levels of copper in the sediment were 50 times higher than other lakes in that region. We think this was caused by additions of something called bluestone, also known as copper sulfate, that have been made to the lake to kill algae since just after the Second World War.
Are there similar studies being done in other Manitoba lakes?
Well, my students and I have done this kind of work for quite a number of years now. We've collected sediment from a whole range of lakes around southern Manitoba. And there are other scientists that have done the same sort of work in Lake Manitoba and Lake Winnipeg. Paleolimnology, you know, provides an objective way to say how much lakes have changed due to natural factors compared to human impacts. And I maintain that it is a way for me to combine my interests in aquatic science and history by studying the long-term history of Manitoba lakes.
Gordon, thank you so much for this.
You're welcome, Nadia.
What's up for next week?
Well, in June last year, we talked about historic parking lots along Main Street in Winnipeg. And in October, we talked about them along Brandon's Rosser Avenue. Well, next week, we're going to walk along Broadway back here in Winnipeg and talk about the empty lots we see, some of which are now occupied by cars, where historic buildings once stood.
Broadway is so familiar to so many of us here in Winnipeg, so I'm looking forward to that. Thanks, Gordon.
You're welcome, Nadia. Bye-bye for now.
Every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.